Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this great hymn, and thank you especially for the thoughts of our hearts that it expresses. Surely, you will meet with us here, not because of us so much, but because you delight to do so, to honor yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sacrifice that He has made to perfect the saints everywhere, not just here, but for us, it is especially necessary that you meet with us here, as the old hymn says, that the lips of Him that stands and proclaims your word, O Lord, we trust that you will get power. Thank you for, again, your blessedness, and thank you for the blessed hope that we have in Christ. Mm-hmm. And just pray your blessings upon each one of us here that we meet, Lord, again, that you might bring us all together, not only in this place, but in heart and mind and soul and spirit. Thank you. Again, for Christ, just bless the services today. Remember those that we love so much and have been a part of us, and yet, Lord, something hinders or circumstances change, and we do trust that it's all in your providential care. Mm-hmm. We know that you have ordained all things, and that all things are. Thank you for this blessed peace that we have in knowing this. Lord, we're tried and tested every day. Lord, we know that things are changed in this world, and they keep changing in this world, and they will keep changing in this world. But thank you that in you is neither shadow. Turning it all, we're thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we rejoice in you through Christ Jesus our Lord, ask again your blessings and His blessing. Amen.
Turn with me this morning, fourth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Second giving of the law, the first one wasn't good enough. Fourth chapter, book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, is something the Lord gave Moses and tablets, and he told them the first thing broken on purpose. But the Lord was mercifully given another round of it. When Moses got through with it this time, there could be no mistake about what the meaning was. 26th verse, I guess. 4th chapter, 26th verse. He said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. The Lord knew the end from the beginning.
Yes. Yeah.
He had a good understanding of what the Israelite people were fixing to do. And said, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, where the Lord shall lead you. So it's all on purpose, huh?
Yeah.
Providence. We like to use that word, providence. But this was the providential care of the Lord working. Another thing, notice, this was just a little old nation. Insignificant, especially in number. But the Lord called them, not some great nation. It's the small things that matter. It confounds wise.
Yes.
Even. He said, "And the Lord shall scatter you." So it's all on purpose. "And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell." Well, it isn't much different today. There's plenty of things set forth that men can worship. Mostly they get up to play.
Right.
And I believe that's the biggest god we got in this world today is a god of pleasure. Men can't hardly work for looking at pleasure.
Yeah, that's true.
And they don't know that even their work can be good and common and good for them. Because it doesn't go against the grain of the Lord. He said, "You work." So go ahead and do that, and it'll do you good. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, here's another but it's a good one. "Seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul."
Okay.
When thou art in tribulation, it's like if you're going to be. And all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days. "If thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice, you'll find him. Do this and live. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God." That's what he demanded all the time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mercy. "He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. For as now the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon earth, and asked from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there hath been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it." It just isn't anything like
that. That's right.
Lord has saved his people. He's going to scatter them out, but he's also going to gather them up. Mm-hmm. All deliberately.
Yes.
And then he asked them the question, "Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire? As thou hast heard and lived." But it was something. There was an audible voice come out of the fire, and it spoke to this little old nation, little insignificant people. "Or hath God a say to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? By temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Now they have seen it, they have heard it, make no mistake about it, it was sure. It was the sure mercies of God that was speaking to them all the time.
Yeah.
Out of the fire. This little old people. It didn't amount to nothing. There was many great nations that the Lord could have called.
Yeah.
But he called them, not because they had done any good or evil, but because it was his will. Can do it with the will of man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
God's will. And he done all this right before their eyes. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There's none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And I thought about this, reading this too. In these last days, he spoke to us by his Son, Jesus Christ.
Right.
So we're as obliged as they were.
Oh, amen.
To know the Lord.
Yeah.
Especially in our worship. People worship, and they say everywhere this morning, but it's not worship. It's a whole lot of different thing than people are doing today. It's all mostly a lie that they're celebrating around.
Yeah.
And upon the earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire, and because he loved thy father. Well, that's what it said. He loved us first. Therefore he chose their seed after them, because he loved them. And brought thee out in the sight, in his sight, with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. To bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Of an inheritance. Not because of any good or evil.
Right.
That we or they have done, but because God chose us, the least of all people. Said, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God. He just said that a little while ago. You've seen all this, so that you might know that. And now he's reinforcing again. Know therefore this day, consider it in thy heart. Now that's work you got to do. Consider it in the heart, in the very soul, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There's none else. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may be well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon earth, which the Lord thy God giveth thee forever. Forever. And to that on the end of it. Forever. To give us an inheritance. And when you've inherited something, it is forever. Can you take a man's inheritance away such as this of the Spirit of God? No. That's what we've inherited. It's not the old land. That was the least of things, was the land that they were going to inherit. But it was God. The Lord, He is God. It's that same in the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. In verse 2, it says, when the Lord our God shall deliver thee deliver them before thee, and thou shalt smack them and utterly destroy them, thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Well, the first thing is don't make covenant with them. But that's what I'm afraid has happened in our day. For the most part, they've made a covenant with the enemy.
Yeah.
Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, or his daughter shalt thou not take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. This was the first thing that we were cautioned about when we read it while it was. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their images. And Dorothy was wanting to know the other day about this, and this part of it right here, the images. And break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people. Don't get mangled up with that. No leaven. Keep it holy. Keep it clean.
Yeah.
Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee now to be a special people unto him, or unto himself above all people there upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people.
Right.
For ye were the fewest of all people. Mm-hmm. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, out of the land of sin, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, what is it? He is God.
Right.
Again, he said that. Keep on repeating that over and over.
Yeah.
He is God.
Yeah.
The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him, and keep his commandments to a thousand generations. But know that the Lord is God. In the book of Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, and his pages come forward there, verse 17, he said, they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, or hath perceived it, and heard his word, or hath heard his word? That's where we started off, wasn't it? We hear and see. And behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury. even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. Which second time we've heard that also. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfect. I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesy. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the people of their doings. Am I God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Oh,
yes.
Reaching afar off. Mm-hmm. And he calls people to hear his words.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is today. Sometimes we get a little discouraged. But that was the whole purpose of the Lord, that his word would be proclaimed by men. And they'd be carried forth, that men might hear and see the word of the Lord. It was him that come to call. Not because we had done any good or evil. In the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter, and verse 64, I guess, their priests fell by the sword, and their withers made no lamentation. Then the Lord awakened as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reason of wine, and he smote his enemies in the hind parts, and they put them to a perpetual reproach. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. What he loved first. And he built his sanctuary high, like high palaces, like the earth, which he had established forever. And he chose David also, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold, from following the ewes, bravely on. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand.
Yeah.
And the Lord is God.
Amen. What is integrity? What does it mean that he fed them according to the integrity of his heart?
Mm-hmm. You know, the pureness.
Pureness.
Wisdom.
I'm saying righteous motives.
It was a sure thing. It was a sure thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question is God still the same today?
Mm-hmm.
Does he feed us from the integrity of his heart,
mm-hmm.
his people?
Absolutely, because he loves his people.
He loves his people first, yeah. As he said.
Right.
And that's what John says, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He loved us before we ever thought of loving him.
Amen.
He loved us way back before the foundation of the world. In reality, and don't misunderstand me here, we had to be regenerated in time,
right?
We had to be brought forth and called in time.
Amen.
But in essence, our salvation was wrought
before
the foundation of the world.
It's inexplicable,
right? And some don't understand that, don't believe it.
No.
So in other words, He loved us when we were sinners, when His wrath was on us. You just got to contemplate that and think about it and praise God for it.
I thought of the Apostle Paul this week.
The best verse for that is 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father.
Yeah.
Through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied.
And then, on the other hand, you've got people that abuse that, thinking that, well, if we were elect before the foundation of the world, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, I can do anything I want to.
And those people that believe that once saved, always saved, and then so they can sin with impunity. It doesn't matter. It just, they go on. But God is, He is our God. Seemed like I noted something else that struck me again. It's not the first time that when J.P. was reading there, that I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land. Wherein do you go over Jordan to possess it? Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall be utterly destroyed. Who is the Israel of God? That brings the question, doesn't it? And we believe that we are the Israel of God, or at least part of the Israel of God.
Amen.
And but many people today again have got that all confused.
In our day, we'd say the church.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what we would say. And again, yet, who is the church? And that's another thing that has been greatly misunderstood, that the church didn't begin until, well, some argue the time of Jesus, and some argue on Pentecost, and so forth and so on.
Right.
But this is the what we would normally call the Gentile church.
Yeah.
But
Every Noah was called the church in the wilderness, so they go pretty far back.
They go back all the way to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's going to be one Lord, one faith, one salvation, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in you all.
Yeah.
And then we go to, there's one body.
Yeah.
There's one head, right?
Mm-hmm.
One sheepfold. And so,
And he also, but I think it was the salvation is baptism. There's one baptism, isn't it?
There's one
baptism. One God, one faith, one baptism.
So,
we need to
take these things seriously, but we ought to also take them to be a great blessing.
Amen.
Amen. And the fact, again, God does not change. In Him is neither variableness nor shadow. He cannot do it. He can't change. If he were changeable, he would not be God.
Amen.
Born by himself.
Yeah. Why?
There wasn't any other.
Yeah, nothing greater to swear by, right? And always swear by the greater. It's the way Abraham was when he was given tithes and Melchizedek.
Right.